Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. I want to thank you for listening to this podcast from Connecting Faith. There are many more podcasts available at our website, myfaithradio.com. And your support makes this possible.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hi, welcome to a Monday and to Connecting Faith. Great to have you along. I'm Neil Stavem. Ted Ross, the controls. Carissa's on the phones. Looking forward to having a good hour with you today. And you're always welcome to join us and join the conversation. In today's conversation, we want to focus on, traits of a Christ follower. There's a great little resource, one of the countless number of resources that the Navigators have put out. It's little booklet that's forwarded by Jerry Bridges and edited by Doug Nunke, who's the general, he's the U.S. president of the Navigators, and it's called Five Traits of a Christ Follower. And Ted, I'm thinking we're probably at the point now here, 25 days into that any New Year's resolutions we maybe slipped a bit or two on already, so...
Those are easier to just let go if you have. At this point, I haven't done it now. Yeah. I'll wait till next year.
Yeah. Or it's like, I'm just not, I'm not going to be as, diligent as I thought, maybe it's in terms of Bible reading or scripture memory or any of those kind of things or, my life. So we're going to find out about that and maybe encourage each other, I think, in ways that we can have a growing and passionate relationship with God. And that's our goal.
The good news is you can start today. You can always start over again.
We could talk about, the Denver Broncos, but...
what is it, 32 teams in the NFL? So 30 teams are starting over again.
Sure, that's okay, yes.
Only two left.
Yes, well, I just mentioned that because my guest today is in Colorado Springs, and I'm not sure if everybody's wearing orange today in Colorado, but Dr. Doug Nunke is the president and the U.S. president of the Navigators. He's been in that position for the past, I think, 5-6 years. And he came to faith as a student at Texas Christian University, and we're going to find out maybe a little bit about his story. He worked in ministry in Lawrence, Kansas for a number of years, been on staff of the Navigators for a long time, and we're honored to have him with us today. Doug and his wife have three adult children and a couple of grandchildren. So is it two grandchildren, Doug, so far?
Two grandchildren.
All right.
Yeah, we've moved into that season of life. It's really fun. Yeah.
We'll touch on that as well. And the main reason we had you on today is because you're a close personal friend of Bill Arnold.
Yeah, I am a good friend with Bill Arnold. I'm thankful for his role in my life in my freshman year of college. He was one of the guys that modeled Jesus to me back at TCU. Mm-hmm.
Well, so tell us a little bit about your story. Did you come to TCU? Because the name is Texas Christian University. So did you have a sort of a basic understanding of faith or not?
You know, I didn't. I went to TCU, and in fact, if whatever the C was there in the middle of TCU, I missed it. I had grown up in a nominal Christian home, and I was probably interested in tennis, girls, and pre-med. And TCU seemed to afford offer an opportunity in those three things. But God got me there to plop me into the middle of some people that were genuine Christ followers. Interestingly, theme of even this thing that this devotional five, the people that influenced my life that year were all freshmen. They were just common people that were walking with God in the ways they knew how. They weren't superstar trained in all kinds of ways. They were people that were loving passionately Jesus Christ and were modeling that in their lives and in whatever way they knew. And I saw it and I was drawn to it and came to faith that freshman year. And my life's never been, obviously it's a common statement, but my life has literally never been the same. He captured me and brought me into his purposes.
Were there objections that you had to get over, or things that maybe held you back, or what were some of the ways that these friends kind of just lived it out and what answered your questions, or did they? I mean, did you get your questions answered before making that choice?
Yeah, I think what they were modeling was a simple faith that was built on the grace of God. And, you know, I think at least in the tradition that I had grown up in, it seemed really laborious and complicated to have a relationship with God. And what they modeled for me was the grace of God is sufficient. And you know, it's everyday people that just, it's the simplicity of devotion to Christ and growing in that relationship and having that grow to the point where your passion overflows. And that was the thing that it was a different view. You know, I was kind of probably works oriented and performance oriented rather than just realizing that the work, the most important work had already been done. And when I came to realize that and came to realize that, that I didn't have to earn my way into heaven, but that God's grace was sufficient and Christ's death on the cross had opened that door and his resurrection opened the door to a life of power and fullness. When I began to see that in the lives of these people, I was just drawn into it.
We're talking with Doug Nunke today. Dr. Nunke is the president of the Navigators for U.S. and has edited a wonderful little resource called Five Traits of a Christ Follower. Doug, maybe just as kind of way of introducing more of the topic, let's talk about these key characteristics. What are those five? And I'm wondering if there's maybe one of these or maybe more that we tend to have less of or maybe have a weaker aspect to.
There's five traits, and where this idea for this little devotional tool came from was just, you know, we all need just be encouraged in the basic things of walking with God. And for most of us, life just can overcome us. You know, life gets full. You know, you've got, you know, one or two jobs in the house. You've got, you know, you may have, you know, for those of us with families, kids that come along, and life just gets full. And the very simple aspects of a devotion to following Christ and to experience his purposes can get missed. And so the idea behind this was, you know, what are kind of the core traits of someone that follows Jesus? And, you know, the five of them, you know, the first one, which is really the foundational one, the most important one, is just walking with Jesus daily. The second one builds on that, is that's knowing and living the scriptures. And so the importance of God's word in our lives, that God has given it to us as a gift, you know, the revelation of scripture to us in the Bible is key in knowing it, becoming a student of it. In even for those of us that aren't going to be experts or theologians, just to know it and to walk in it and have it speak to us, because Hebrews 4 says it's living and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. You know, it pierces to the point of bones and marrow. You know, it touches our hearts. And then the third trait, participating in community. We can so easily in this fast-paced world with all kinds of things pulling at our time, even with you know, all kinds of social media and email and different ways of communicating with people, we find that people more and more are isolated. Even in the midst of the crowd of social media, they're isolated and that they don't have a community of people that really know them and are walking with them. And so walking with Jesus, knowing the scriptures, participating in community, and then fourth, engaging with those who don't know Christ. So developing friendships that can bear the weight of real meaningful conversation to the point that we can talk to people in natural ways about Christ and about the gospel. And then finally, the fifth trait is this idea of reproducing spiritual generations, which is what God does. The Bible is really a story of generations of people that knew him, because the ripple of the impact of God's purposes in his kingdom and his grace in people's lives flow through people. And we can actually expect that to happen in our lives, not because we know a bunch, not because, like I said, we are, you know, some kind of spiritual superstar. It's just it's the Christian life as God intended, to have the ripple of his grace touch others in our family, our friendships, our neighbors, the people in the cubicle that we that's next to ours. So, yeah, as far as one that's the most important, you know, it's the foundation, I would say, of just walking with Jesus and growing in that relationship. And, you know, I've been struck lately. I've been in really meditating in the book of Colossians. An amazing truth that we lose track of in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Listen to this, Neil. This is amazing. For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. And then it says to us, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. So in verse 9 it says that in Christ the very fullness of God lives in bodily form. And we've been given that same fullness. Earlier on in Colossians he actually says that part of the mystery of the gospel is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And, you know, that truth right there that is a product of the gospel is, you know, ought to just cause us to go, wow, that's life as Christ means it, as God means it to be, is that that Christ, the fullness of God, dwelling in us, what power, what freedom, you know, and what kind of impact that can have as we just, you know, live into that truth. And by walking with him, spending time with him each day, opening the scripture and just getting a little, you know, feeding and being nourished on the scriptures.
We'll unpack more as we go along here in the hour about some traits, fundamentals of a Christ follower. I want to encourage you today to just stay tuned, set aside some time to consider again, what does it mean to know and live from the scriptures, to engage with those who don't know Christ, to live in community with others, to equip others to follow Christ, to be in an authentic relationship with Jesus. Learning about it today with Dr. Doug Nunke, who came to Christ at Texas Christian University through the influence of a group of friends. He was selected as a U.S. President of the Navigators in 2008. He continues to lead with the fervor that only comes from a continually growing and passionate relationship with God. And we're going to learn more about how we can delve into these traits of a Christ follower and grow in our faith, and maybe raise some of the areas where we need to do better, and how we can encourage one another, and maybe just some ways to effectively share our faith. We'll get to all that and more with Doug Nunke in the moments ahead here on Connecting Faith. If you'd like to join the conversation, maybe you have a question or a comment, or you've been influenced by the ministry of the Navigators, love to have you chime in. It's 877-93-FAITH. It's 877-933-2484. Faith in an attractive way. In fact, later this week on Wednesday, we'll hear more about that. In fact, the phrase that our guest later this week uses is that we live questionable lives based on that verse in 1 Peter 3:15, right? Be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have in Christ. We live lives that are attractive to others. We're learning about being traits of a Christ follower. Five traits of a Christ follower is the little book that we're using as a little devotional book put out by NAB Press. Dr. Doug Nunke has edited that. He is the U.S. President of the Navigators, and among other things, has served at the ministry for a number of years with the University of Kansas for a number of years as well, and is leading the organization out of Colorado Springs right now. And Doug, I know the mission of the Navigators has been to know Christ and to make him known, but it probably seems like in general we probably spend more time on knowing than making known. Just say a word about how we might change that or get that more in balance.
Yeah, I think that as we, part of it is that as we know him, you know, as we really grow to know him, we become taken up in him, and we are drawn to him. In the amazing grace in the gospel, as that becomes more evident to us in our own personal life, we won't be able to keep our mouth quiet. You know, we won't be able to, there'll be an overflow out of our life that happens. And we need to be aware of that. We, you know, be aware of it in the way that we then open our mouths, because our job really is to respond to what God's doing in us and to allow that to impact other people. So as we're growing, then the, you know, it's a critical step. I wrote a little booklet called Latte Love, which also can be got, you know, found at Nav Press. But it's basically, you know, the idea of the book is just simple ways of having our faith overflow into our conversations and into our relationships with those that are right around us. I think that's one of the big barriers is we think of ministry being, you know, taking place in events only, you know. So when we fill up a stadium someplace, or we take a mission trip, or there's some big event, or we go serve someplace in our own city, all good things to be able to do. But the most natural places for the gospel to flow are in our everyday life with the people that God has already placed right around us, whether it's our next-door neighbor, you know, taking the time to, you know, as we pull in the driveway, we see the next door neighbor out at the mailbox grabbing the mail. You know, I call that 20 yards the longest 20 yards in the kingdom, because for some reason we have a hard time just realizing that those 5 or 8 minutes, those kind of interactions are ones that can begin to prepare the soil in people's lives as they get to know us. You know, or the interaction we have with someone that serves us at our local coffee shop, you know, that we see almost every day. And to be able to open our mouths in ways that are just natural, to build friendships first, and then to be able to bring the meaning of Christ in our life in natural ways, you know, in our friendships. And I think somehow we part of what keeps us from sharing our faith is we've been trained only in very proclamational ways that seem to be event-driven and kind of like get in your face, which I'm not discounting that there's not appropriate times for, you know, that as God leads, but most of the time the advance of the gospel happens in everyday life through families and friends that are getting to know us, and God opens up opportunities as life happens, both in our lives, and we have an opportunity to give testimony of God giving us strength. I just lost my dad a week and a half ago, and having God's strength in me, and then I can give testimony to that God is helping me. God is walking with me through this. And then in addition, our friends all go through difficulties and times of trial. And for us to be there in a natural way to you know, to bring up Jesus in very natural ways. So I've got a theory that some of the reasons so many of us don't share our faith is because we see it as something for evangelists, you know, that are going to fill stadiums, or people that are going to go do something and proclaim it to this person. And 9 out of 10 times, the person kind of freaks out and we don't know what to do then. We see it that way versus seeing it as just the natural part of life. So I agree with you. Yeah. We do need to be considering that.
We, you know, I think you address it in the book, The 5 Traits of a Christ Follower, that, you know, we assume we need to go somewhere to have an influence for Christ. So what is that sort of, I mean, God's positioned us to be where we are. We need to let our light shine. Can you give maybe an example of what that looks like? Maybe once you make that 20-yard journey to your neighbor at the mailbox, where does it go from there?
Yeah, that's great. I'll give you 2 quick examples. One is I was assistant coach of my son's football team when he was in middle school, and I just got to like this, you know, this other assistant coach. We just hit it off. It was, there was chemistry there. We were like, man, we could hang together. We're there. We have this common experience with these young guys. And we just hit off. And one time I just said, hey, you want to get lunch sometime? So we got lunch, got to know each other a little bit. And that happened a couple times over the months. And then at one of the lunches we had, I said, you know, he was telling me about his wife being in some kind of Bible discussion group. And I said, would you ever do that? And he said, no, I don't know enough. You know, he was fearful, because most people that are not believers are afraid to enter into spiritual environments or into church environments often, because they feel like they'll get a pop quiz or something their first time there. And I said, well, hey, you know, I mean, you know me, why don't we hang out and just read the Bible together sometime? You know, and he said, well, you know, he didn't say these words, but I could tell he said, he was thinking, well, I trust you. I know you. I know you're not going to ask me any hard questions. Yeah, let's get together. And so we started getting together and just reading a little bit, you know, every couple weeks as time, you know, as our schedules allowed, we started meeting and just, you know, we just read a couple paragraphs and talk about them. And as time went on, he ended up coming to faith in Christ. You know, another story I think of is our local coffee shop. We got to know one of the assistant managers and really, you know, intentionally cared for her in ways that friends care for people. You know, we kept an eye on her. She was, you know, she went through an illness. We were there. We brought meals. We did different things. At one point, we said to her, we had a friend that was kind of a, you know, famous musician. And we mentioned to she and some of the staff at our coffee shop and said, hey, you know, what do you think if we have this person come in and do a little music night at your shop? And they were like, you'd do that? You could hook us up with that person? And we did it. I mean, the place was packed out. They sold more coffee than they had, you know, sold in the last 3 months. And afterwards, you know, after the thing was over, she said, why? That is weird. Why did you do that? Isn't that interesting? People don't love one another. People don't serve one another. So when you do, you have the opportunity to say what I said. I said, well, Pam and I, my wife and I, we care for you. We care how well you do. We want you to be a success. We want to love you well. And because we had given her a Christmas present that had something to do with Jesus, we met with people in Bible study, she knew that we were Christ followers. So I didn't even have to say it in that one conversation, because we were having multiple conversations. I said, we care for you. And I might have even said, Jesus wants us to serve one another like that. So that's why we're doing it. And she was drawn towards Christ. Now, she ended up getting transferred, and we didn't see her come to faith at that point. But our job was to do our part. You know, it's like a relay race. We don't have to feel like we have to have the pressure to get the job done, you know, to rush to get the job done. We love people, we walk with them, and we set them up. And if all Christ followers had that mentality, think what would happen. We'd be a relay race, and people would be coming to Christ.
We're talking about it today with Doug Nunkeek, president of Navigators U.S., written some wonderful resources, many available, of course, at NAB Press. We'll talk more about that coming up. We're talking five traits of a Christ follower, and I want to bring some more encouragement to you in the moments ahead. Stay tuned at 877-93-FAITH for Connecting Faith.
Everything to follow, everything to follow, everything to follow you.
32 past the hour. We're talking about traits of a Christ follower. What distinguishes a follower of Christ? Well, Dr. Doug Nunkeek is the president of the Navigators U.S. and has edited, well, he's written several books, but has edited this little devotional called The Five Traits of a Christ Follower. In fact, we'll have a copy. We'll give it away here at the top of the hour. I'd love to have you sign up for it. You can do that at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. We're learning more about, you know, what does it mean to be actively engaged as a believer today in authentic discipleship, growing in our relationship with God, living in the Scriptures, engaging those who don't know Christ, and living in community with other believers, learning more about it. And And it's a great time of year as we've, you know, come past the first couple of weeks in January to say, I want to make sure that 2016 is a year where I don't slip back. I want to see movement, the growth take place. Doug, one of the things in this little devotional book that got addressed is the difference between a spiritual guide and a spiritual parent. And I think, you know, not all of us really sort of get the Timothy 2:2, the discipleship part of it very well.
Yes, you know, that final trait of a Christ follower in the devotional 5 talks about reproducing spiritual generations. And it's this idea of really walking with someone and finding people that God brings into your life and walking with them in a way where we take responsibility, similar to a parent would take responsibility to usher someone from where they are in, you know, going forward in the next steps, helping them to experience Christ daily in a quiet time, to be able to help them learn how to open the pages of Scripture and feed themselves. You know, for a lot of people, the Bible is a great mystery, but it doesn't need to be. You know, I mean, sometimes we say, well, the pastor, he's the one that opens the Bible and he's studied it and done all this stuff, but you know, all of us need to be able to turn the pages of the Bible open, to be able to trust God by His Holy Spirit to speak to us. And being a spiritual parent means walking with someone to help them to be able to develop those basic tools that are simple and yet so vital and powerful in each of our lives as we have grown in Christ. So there's a lot of guides. There's a lot of teachers and pastors that touch us from afar, you know, people that are on your radio programs that speak, that give great, great help. But it's a different thing for each of us to take on, you know, the gift and the opportunity that we have to walk with someone personally, to disciple them and to, you know, coin a term, to spiritually parent them, to help them to grow to maturity.
Well, obviously, God's Word is one of the keys, and I know that, you know, from the very beginning, the Navigators have been about hiding God's Word in our heart. In fact, I'd kind of forgotten about Dawson Trotman's story. I mean, he was kind of a regular guy who actually started memorizing Scripture as a dare, I think, right?
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, because he thought he was pretty bright, and he thought, hey, I can do that. You know, he was going to show them. kind of thing. And he was, you know, I love, you know, he epitomizes, I think, to a large extent to what we as the Navigators really believe is that, you know, it's all of us that need to enter into ministry. It's not some spiritual superstar. You know, in Acts 4, I love this description of the early disciples. You know, he said, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. And I think Dawson Trotman in the same way. You know, he worked in a lumber yard during the Great Depression. You know, you wouldn't think, wow, where's the starting point to be able to be involved in seeing this great movement of the gospel happen? It was just a common man who worked in a lumber yard that God got a hold of his life. And as he grew, he came to the conviction that these ideas of spiritual parenting and disciple making, and really it's the ministry that Jesus had with his disciples, the same kind of thing, walking with people, helping them to come to faith, and then helping them grow. And God used Dawson Trotman. He was an ordinary man. He had warts, just like all of us do. And yet God used him to launch a movement back, and that was in the 1930s, a movement among Navy servicemen that ended up rippling all over the Pacific Ocean during World War II, that ended up just, you know, reaching thousands over those years. And then, you know, the Navigators began to grow on the backside of World War II on college campuses and other places as these servicemen came back and we're taking seriously the Great Commission.
You've talked about, you know, God uses the available, and maybe we just need to say more about that, because somehow we feel like, well, you know, we have to be equipped before we can be really effective.
Yeah, you know, my story, I you know, that my story is probably epitomized by 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, no eye has seen nor ear heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. You know, God has things prepared for us as we just walk with him. It's not merit. It's not the number of, you know, medals on our chest or great accomplishments. It's loving Jesus and following him. And I was, you know, in middle school and high school, no one, except maybe my mom, would have picked me to make any difference in the world. And you know how moms are. Moms believe, you know, anything can happen. And most people wouldn't have looked at me. I was 4'11", weighed, you know, 100 pounds. We moved every 2 or 3 years. I was that kid that showed up to the cafeteria, didn't have a place to sit at a table. I was, you know, and I was 4'11", weighed 100 pounds as a freshman in high school, and had the audacity to try to go out for football down in Houston, Texas. You know, think Friday Night Lights, and me, 4'11", 100 pounds. Now, it didn't go that well. I never played. It shows either my courage or that I, you know, I didn't really have a whole lot of wisdom, Neil. I was physically immature. I was emotionally immature. And even as I went away to college, I hadn't had a lot of deep friendships. I didn't know a lot about life. I wasn't someone that would have been marked. And God, when I went to college, God used these other freshmen, these unschooled, ordinary people, to speak to me and to help me and to live in front of me to help me see the gospel. And then as I began to take God at his word, he began to use me. You know, Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, so I'm a great example of someone that apart from the grace of God, I wouldn't have been used. You know, and I'm not talking primarily about the role that I have today, because God, you know, I mean, there's all kinds of ways I won't take the time to tell the story, but just how God ushered me into this job, into this role, is amazing. And his fingerprints are all over it. And other people who built into my life are part of that story. But I'm talking about how God has used me by his grace just in the lives of people all along the way.
We shouldn't be surprised, I guess, should we? But we probably are, right, when that happens.
And some of it is because, you know, we said earlier about, you know, Christ in us, the hope of glory, that it starts with Jesus being in us. I love this picture in 2 Corinthians 4. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of glory of God in the face of Christ. So what that's saying is that the same God who put the star and the sun and the moon in place, he lets light shine out of darkness. He has put this light in our hearts, this light that gives us the knowledge of the glory of God. And then verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
The power is from God, not from us, and God's put it there. And so that verse gives me great courage to step out and not be afraid. And that's where faith, you know, comes in. That's faith in our life, and faith in having an impact in the lives of other people. We often can have low self-esteem or low spiritual esteem, thinking that God could use us. And yet, that's the way he's designed it. He's designed it for us to be used person to person in everyday life. We don't have to fill a stadium. We don't even have to fill a room. God can use us in casual conversations with those that we live near and that we work with our family members. And that's the power. To me, it's the power of mobilizing every believer to do those little things in the people that are right around them. Imagine what it'd be like if we were to even mobilize 10% or 15% of all of us that sit in, you know, in a church on Sunday morning, in that kind of way, to be mobilized to touch the people that are right around us. I think it'd be revolutionary. I think it would change our cities. And it's just those that little step of faith to walk with God and then to be able to be courageous to speak and just develop friends. And some of it is just developing friendships with non-believers. We can get isolated from those that are far from Christ.
Doug, you mentioned the passage of 1 Corinthians 4 and about having the treasure in jars of clay, but the next verse says we're hard-pressed in every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. I think sometimes we assume that, well, if we are Christ followers, that life will be trouble-free.
Yes.
Say more about
yep.
that. I mean, I know even from your personal experience, you mentioned your father passing away here just recently, but you've had property loss as well.
Yeah, we back in 2012, we had those big fires here in outside of Colorado Springs, and our house was one of the 350 that burned in that first fire. The next year, we had even more houses that burned, but our house, we lost everything. You know, I mean, we were able to get like a carload of stuff and get out, but so many memories and so many things, and it lost our house, and it was deep, deep, dark, hard times. I mean, it was trauma, and so difficult, and at the same time, being asked to lead, God had ushered my wife and I to be stewards and leaders in the U.S. Navigators, and trying to do that and try to figure out insurance and all those things. It was very, very difficult. But it's those, it seems, I was with a group of young men and women, Christ followers, just last week, and we were talking about our own personal stories. And I think to a person, we all agreed that sometimes it's the more difficult things in our lives that God uses to really to grow us. Because we're grown into greater dependence on Him when we do that. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, 9 and 10, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I'll boast all the more about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That idea that it's in our weaknesses that we're made strong, and that His grace is sufficient. And that's true most often when we go through real, real tough times. And I'm still under a cloud with losing my dad and being with my brothers and watching him leave this earthly life and go to heaven, just weighty. We go through weighty things. Family challenges and health issues. We had multiple friends this last year have gone through very, very dark, deep health issues. And in many of those cases, we've seen people come out the backside. The family members of those that have gone on to the Lord come out stronger because they put their hope in Christ.
We want to keep that focus as we continue our conversation with Doug Nunke. Doug is the president of the Navigators U.S. You can find out more about the wonderful ministry at navigators.org, navigators.org. And if you want to find out about the wonderful resources that are available, five traits of a Christ follower, that's available through NAB Press, nabpress.com. We've got a copy of that giveaway here at the end of the hour as well. You can sign up for that at 877-93-FAITH. That's 877-933-2484. If you have a question or a comment, you're welcome to join the conversation as well. Continue more with Dr. Doug Nunke in just a moment as we talk about growing in our faith. We want to get to maybe in some principles about memorizing Scripture and a few good things later. We'll talk about some of the resources and material available through NAB Press as well. That's all coming up here in a moment. Some encouragement today about what it means to follow Christ. There are some traits of a Christ follower that are well, should distinguish us. And it will help us not only be effective to be light in the darkness, but also help us to train and teach others. Talking today with Dr. Doug Nunke, who is the president of Navigators U.S., been in that position here for the past 5-6 years or so. Before that, he served with the Navigators. Well, he served at the University of Kansas for a number of years. He was in the Western Division leadership of collegiate ministry. Navigators is a great organization. You can find out more, navigators.org. Doug and his wife have three children and two grandchildren. And, Doug, I'm interested in maybe just say a word about, as a parent of adult children and a grandparent, maybe about your priorities to imparting, you know, spiritual wisdom, imparting the gospel to your kids and your grandkids. Say a bit about maybe legacy and if you see your role maybe changing now compared to 20 years ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's all part of the same thing. When we think of what the Navigators are about, it's this idea of, you know, intentional generational disciple making. And so that happens in the home. It happens in our relationships. I've got, you know, three young businessmen and here in town that every Tuesday morning we get together and we get into the scriptures together. And my heart is to be being a model and a mentor to them in helping them grow spiritually. But the same thing, the whole time when our kids were growing up, we were very intentional about having them know of our heart and our belief in the Word of God and in Christ, and, you know, with family devotions and things that at various times of the year of just opening up conversation with them, trying to make sure that they saw us living it out and saw us opening our home to other people to share Christ with other people. And our kids saw that as we went through life, and they've been through ups and downs, and they had, you know, there were times where they had, you know, every teenager comes to some point in time where they make a decision whether their parents' faith is going to be their faith. And we have stories on that, which maybe that's for another time, Neil.
Yeah.
But I could tell you story after story of really hard times that we went through with a couple of our kids. But, you know, they are right now walking with God, and God is using them. And two of our kids are married. Our two daughters are married. And by God's grace, God has worked it out where I get together every couple weeks up in Denver with my two son-in-laws. In fact, Wednesday night, I'll be driving up there, and we do some Bible study together. And so, and God's opened that door up. I'm amazed that happens. I never would have guessed that I would have that as a blessing. But both those guys, God just opened up doors in that. So we're continuing to invest in normal and natural ways with our kids. They're adults now, so we take a few steps backwards, trust that the things that we taught them while they were growing up will be helpful, continue to be helpful, and then we enter in as a door opens. So it's cool. So in that way, we're getting through our kids, getting to impact our grandkids, and of course, when we're with our grandkids, we, you know, spend time talking to them about Jesus, and to the extent that a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old can grasp.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's really fun. And just doesn't get much better than that.
No doubt. I'm wondering, Doug, how you pray. Do you have a sort of prayer every day in terms of, you know, for opportunities to come up that, you know, they happen naturally and sort of organically? But What are you praying about maybe for your life and then for the lives of those that you oversee in the Navigators?
Yeah, you know, I the main thing I'm praying is, and I'm praying in such a way, both whether it's the first thing when I get up, I pray, and I pray through some scripture every day, and most days, even as I've got some praise music that comes on my iPhone that wakes me up, and even while I'm there in the darkness, I roll over and I start to meditate on some scripture and pray that God would work in my life and continue to draw me to himself. Probably the most, I would guess that's the most important prayer that I pray every day, that I would, my heart would stay moldable in his hands, that I'd stay a learner, I'd stay humble, because I'm a man who fails and who makes mistakes. And the only way to be, which I would say a normal person who fails and makes mistakes, is to stay moldable and be a learner. So probably, you know, I pray that way. I pray, you know, I try to pray even along the day. Try to be praying, you know, just have an attitude of prayer. You know, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it says to pray continually, you know, so that to have my life be a life that is prayerful in my relationship with God. And I pray for, and I, like all of us, I pray for issues as it relates to the Navigator, some of the strategic things we want to really be seeing happening, some of the challenges that we face as an organization in this culture that we live in. You know, I pray for our kids, pray for family members and friends that are going through hard times, pray for our leaders around the country, pray for the people that I get a chance to meet with in Bible study. You know, really trusting God to do what he says he'll do in the scriptures. Because we're really in life, we are responders to God's work for the most part. God is always ahead of us. God knows his purposes. And I pray that God will just keep my eyes open. I call it looking for the fingerprints of God as I go through a day. So what's it like as I start the day and say, Lord, keep my eyes open to where I see your fingerprints, meaning where I see God working in people's lives, that I'd be sensitive when I see someone downhearted to respond to that, or I see somebody that's got an idea that needs someone just to ask them the question, well, what are you thinking? Or see somebody that needs help and needs spiritual guidance and someone to come alongside them, that I'd be aware of that and prayerful throughout the day. So that, I mean, those are some of the some of the things I think that helps me to be ready for the during the day, whether it's with people I work with. Now I work in a Christian organization, so I, you know, it's different for most people, which I get excited about, is most people are out there not, I mean, they've got people that don't yet know Christ, and to be aware of those people and their needs and find ways to serve them, and it's exciting.
We only have about 2 minutes left. I'm wondering if you have a 60-second tip for memorizing scripture.
I think, you know, I think each of us, well, one thing is, you know, I went through with these young business guys, there's the Navigators have something called the Topical Memory System, which is at NAV Press, which is 60 key verses in 5 little chunks or categories of issues, and just basic basic scriptures for, you know, building a foundation. That's a great one. You know, one of those verses, Psalm 119, verses 9 and 11 says, how can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Later on in that same psalm, the psalmist writes, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And I think as we memorize the scriptures and then meditate on them, we'll be equipped, both, one, to minister to ourselves as needs come up. Well, God's word will flow over us as it comes out of our heart when we've memorized it. And then also, we'll have it ready and available when we talk with people, whether it's people that are not yet to know Christ or brothers and sisters that just need a word of encouragement.
You write at Making Waves, right? .navigators.org?
Yes. Yep, that's the blog that I write at. And I also have a book by that same title called Making Waves. And the idea behind that book was just to equip people to be wave makers, spiritual wave makers, that we're having an impact in the world around us.
I appreciate the encouragement today and the challenge and the opportunity to allow God to use us. You know, God's using the available. You know, don't have to be a superstar. God wants to use you. Doug Nunke has reminded us of that and shared out of his own life experience. He came to know Christ through the influence of a group of ordinary guys. He's now president of the Navigators U.S. You can find out more about his writing at makingwaves.navigators.org. Check out wonderful ministry, navigators.org, and you can also find resources at navpress.com. Doug, Nugge joining us today here on Connecting Faith. If you missed part of the show today, you can always catch it. We post the interviews online at myfaithradio.com and go to Connecting Faith.